SQPN.com presents The Secrets of the Hobbit.
There and back again. A Hobbit's Tale by Bilbo Baggins. Now, where to begin?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Secrets of The Hobbit, the show that is dedicated to all the news surrounding the two movies currently in production in New Zealand, based upon this fantastic book by J.R.R. Tolkien, The Hobbit. And we are actually continuing our episode of last week, which was our very detailed analysis of The Hobbit trailer. And joining me today, just as last week, is Dave Kale. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Father.
Recovered from a nasty stomach bug.
That's right.
Came on
winds from the east.
Ew. Well, some bat rabbit stew, probably. I told you shouldn't eat the same stuff as Gollum does. It's not healthy.
When will I learn?
So we're going to continue our analysis. I think last time we stopped when we saw Gandalf in what we assumed was Dol Guldur. And he was just walking around there amidst the runes. And that was only half the trailer. And so we're picking up things at around the 1 minute 26 seconds mark, where we see this three-dimensional map. And I'm so sorry that I still haven't seen this trailer in proper 3D. Actually, I'm not even sure that the trailer was aired in 3D. Do you know that? Was it? Because it was placed in front of Tintin, which of course is a 3D movie. So I'm wondering. I've not read.
I'm ashamed to admit that I don't know, because while I did go see Tintin, I arrived at the theater late enough that the trailers had already started, and I think I missed the Hobbit one. I was not happy.
It can happen. But I'm just wondering, I haven't read anything online about the 3D aspect of the trailer. But when I look at the map and then the floating letters from Peter Jackson, it just seems to be a 3D trailer as well. I would have loved to hear something about the quality of the 3D and how it is to actually just see hobbits walking around in 3D and dwarves.
Did you see Tintin in 3D?
Yes, but it didn't have the trailer because Tintin aired or was
oh,
launched in theaters.
That's right.
Months
you
before.
Saw it well before December.
Yes. One detail about this map that we see is actually a drawing of Smaug, the dragon. We see the Lonely Mountain. Right underneath the letters of that form the name of Peter Jackson. So on the left it says the Lonely Mountain, and then above the top of the Lonely Mountain we see a design of a dragon, and it seems to me that it's a very conventional, old-fashioned dragon. Nothing too spectacular. Just two huge wings, a very long, curved neck, and as far as I can tell, four legs. Or paws, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, doesn't really tell us anything about the actual depiction of Smaug. And I've been reading up on the news, because we're kind of behind with all the recent revelations about, or the tidbits about this new movie. But as far as I can tell, it seems that it's not even decided yet what Smaug will look like, or they're still working on it. And even Cumberbatch, who does the voice of Smaug, has not seen the final result. So they're doing all the motion capture and the voicing of the dragon, but it seems that the actual, the final result's not yet there. So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that Smaug will be a traditional, conventional dragon, or will it be something new, something unexpected?
I rather suspect it'll be maybe elements of both. Isn't that the best answer always? What do you think? This or that?
It's a very, very safe answer.
Decisive. I think it'll probably be more traditional. If Guillermo del Toro was still in charge, if he was directing, I would be more inclined to say it'll be something off the wall, but I think we're probably going to get a pretty, I think they'll try to go more for just really, really cool and less toward you know, hey, let's make a dragon nobody expects.
It's actually a good point that you raise, because I read one of the interviews with Peter Jackson, I think, and he said that they would actually, they had retained a couple of elements that Del Toro came up with. So I don't know if those are visual elements or just the way that the story is told, because of course he had also, you know, several drafts of the script. But I just got the feeling that they can't really do too much out of the ordinary, because we have some drawings of Smaug by Tolkien, don't we? At least I do remember seeing something.
Yeah, indeed. I was going to say, I actually think that the map that we were looking at in the possibly 3D scenes is actually Tolkien's map.
Oh, okay.
And so that would be Tolkien's drawing of Smaug. And so Tolkien's drawing of drawings of dragons, and you know, and he was a very sort of prolific amateur artist, but he wasn't necessarily like the best artist, but mm-hmm. he was quite competent. His drawings of dragons tended to look a lot more like sort of like very much worms. They tended to be longer and skinnier and kind of snake-like, a little bit different from what I think we're more accustomed to these days, the sort of bigger, larger things like you see in Lord of the Rings Online or Warcraft or whatever.
Or even in the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, even in the Harry Potter. Yeah. So I wonder, they may go with something more like that, something sort of thinner and skinnier. So that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and then of course there's the iconic drawing on the cover of the Hobbit book. And I think that the it's this very well-known picture of this pile of gold and then this very slim-looking red dragon curled up on one of those, you know, mountains of gold.
Right.
I wonder if that was actually drawn by Tolkien himself or not. I'm trying to Google it right now, because I can see the picture here, and it's actually reprinted on the inside of the 70th anniversary edition of the book of the Hobbit. But let me see. The illustrations are, well, this is just about the quality of the illustration. I can't really tell who drew this. But anyway, my point is that they cannot steer away too much from that, because it would be basically betraying what Tolkien had in mind. And you don't want to steer away too much. I'm looking at another map here, which I assume was also done by Tolkien. And there is a dragon-like creature there on the bottom. We see Smaug on top of the lonely mountain, and that it looks a lot like what we see in the trailer of the map. So it's a very long neck and a huge tail also. I forgot to mention that. The tail is like twice as long as the neck, and the wings are kind of bat-shaped and also extremely elongated, long and extended. But then on the bottom, below the lonely mountain, you see another dragon-like creature, but without wings, and that one is called one of the Great Worms. And so that matches what you say, that the dragons are kind of akin to worms and less dinosaur-like.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. That's, by the way, one of the things that we didn't see in the trailer. We've been talking a lot about the things that we did see, but there are also a lot of things that we don't see. Like Smaug, which of course everyone is very curious about, except for this drawing, there's nothing else in there. We don't see the Lonely Mountain. We don't see the Necromancer. Most of what's put in the trailer is very familiar visual material. Probably, and we talked about this last week, because the trailer has a very important function, which is to reconnect the audience. Also, the let's say the not so familiar audience, not familiar with the story of The Hobbit, to connect them with these new movies, giving them illustrations that they recognize and that they can relate to. And so it's basically stuff that looks a lot like what we've seen in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Then let me just click on the play button here. I'm on the iTunes site, and see what the next image is here.
The fire was red.
Now, amazing overview of what looks like Rivendell. Beautiful, I guess, a sunset. It's kind of this same hazy day with partially cloudy, but also beautiful sun beams of golden sunlight. Very similar to what we've seen already in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, although it seems to be a bit less autumn-like. I kind of recall that the Rivendell in the Lord of the Rings seemed to be even more like it was fall and the trees were brown. This seems to be a bit more like the end of the summer. I don't know if that was done on purpose or if it's just me imagining things, but
I kind of wonder, the same thing. I wonder if they're going to try, and this is very subtle and I'm probably out on a limb, but I wonder if they're going to try to evoke sort of the notion that things are kind of gradually fading, of course, much more mm-hmm. slowly in Rivendell than in other parts of Middle-earth because of the presence of the ring, but that Elrond has. But just this notion that things are fading, that the Third Age is ending, the time of the elves is coming to an end. I might be out on a limb, but I'd be very interested to see if they try to include elements of that.
I think actually visually that would be a very good thing to do, to just again convey the notion that Rivendell is changing. In the Lord of the Rings, it's kind of the final days of the era of the elves, and everything is kind of nostalgic and has a certain sadness to it, whereas The Hobbit is more cheerful and so in a way more fresher, younger. Even though there's not that much time between, of course, the events in The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. But when I look at this first image of Rivendell, where you see Gandalf standing on top of this cliff, actually it's a pretty dangerous spot to stand there with his back to the to the abyss. The plants below him, beneath him, the green-leaved plants that are growing next to the waterfall are all still green. They've not turned yellow and orange like in The Lord of the Rings. So I do believe that they're... And actually, the trees are also on top of the mountains in the distance, and you see multiple waterfalls. It looks beautiful. They all are still green. So I think that it's definitely a slightly fresher, more summertime version of Rivendell, at least as far as we can tell from these 2 seconds that we see. And of course, Gandalf is standing there with Galadriel. She is dressed in a white robe, very similar, I think, to what we saw her wearing in The Lord of the Rings. And Gandalf is just his same old gray stuff that he usually wears. And I was wondering, when do you think that this takes place? What kind of conversation are they having? Is this when they're talking about the White Council, or I'm just trying to figure out when this could be?
That's the only thing I can imagine is that it has to do with this necromancer and the White Council. This scene's actually, I don't know if you've encountered this, but this scene's actually sparked a good deal of controversy on the internet, of course.
Especially the images that follow this overview of Rivendell.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just press play here to just include that as well. So here you see Galadriel touching the hair of Gandalf in a... Well, I don't know. It's kind of a loving, maternal gesture, almost. I suppose that the controversy you were referring to has to do with this scene.
Yes, that is correct.
So tell me about it.
Some people have interpreted this as a almost sort of a romantic moment between Gandalf and Galadriel.
Really? Come on.
So people are throwing a fit over that. They think that's totally out of place, has no business in the story. Why are they doing that? There was one article, a really, really interesting article on, I think it was on Wired.com. It's the Geek Dad blog. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah, there we go. The title of it is Why the Hobbit Trailer Creeps Me Out.
I think I saw that one, yes.
And specifically he says, let's see, yada, yada, yada. He goes on, he talks about some of the things that were in the other films that bothered him and how, he goes and talks about Galadriel being in there. But and he says, he specifically says, I don't mind Galadriel showing up. We knew they were going to make The Hobbit into two movies, which meant we were likely going to see Gandalf and take on the Necromancer. I like the idea of the White Council placed on film, but ... And then he includes this picture of Galadriel touching Gandalf's face and stroking his hair. And she says, I can imagine no reason that the Galadriel I know from the books would ever touch Gandalf like that.
I personally don't really have a problem with this, but then again, I'm not much of a purist when it comes to The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings.
I don't have any idea what's actually going on in this scene, so I'm not going to jump to any conclusions.
No, me neither. I just thought it was kind of a caring gesture, and to me it felt totally fitting with the depiction or the, let's say, the interpretation of Galadriel in the movies, the way that we've seen her so far, even in her interaction with Frodo. She seems to be maternal and caring, and but not a. This is not a love scene with Gandalf. Come on, I don't think that Peter Jackson would dare to put his reputation on the line like that.
No,
but it's just.
And I think I also think that this is consistent with the depiction of Gandalf as well. That contrary to first-time readers of The Hobbit, who theoretically haven't read The Lord of the Rings yet. Mm-hmm. Certainly people, when it was published and Lord of the Rings wasn't out, Gandalf was a little further removed from the reader. You know, he was almost like the deus ex machina mm-hmm. guy who would come in and save them when they got in trouble.
Yeah.
And he was sort of not all powerful, but he was quite powerful. Although he certainly was in positions where he was vulnerable, like when they've been treed by the orcs and the wargs and their trees are being set fire and stuff. And he has to be rescued, but in general, throughout most of the book, he never seems to be in danger. But you know, of course, in The Lord of the Rings, and everyone who's going to watch this movie has seen the Lord of the Rings films. We know he meets his match several times throughout those films. In particular, the Balrog, but he also has this confrontation with the Witch King and stuff. And so we know that there are powers in the world of Middle Earth that can contend with him and even defeat him. And so here we know he's probably going to go and endanger himself by sneaking into the dungeons of Dol Guldur and try to reveal the identity of the Necromancer, who we happen to know as Sauron. So we know he's going into danger and that he can't be sure that he'll be come back from that adventure safely. So I think this is consistent with the depiction of Gandalf as well, that maybe Galadriel, this, as you pointed out, who has played this sort of maternal role in the other films, she's concerned for him and trying to comfort and embolden him to go do what he has to do.
That's exactly how I interpreted the scene, and especially when you look at the expression on Gandalf's face, he seems to be worried, and things are already, you know, turning pretty dark there, and so. You know, we've seen Gandalf acting like this also in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He's not always, you know, this self-assured, like, I'm going to fix everything, you know. Just no, he's worried about Middle Earth. He's worried about the fate of the of course Bilbo and his company. But he knows much more about the bigger picture. So he actually probably foresees much darker shadows than just, you know, what Smaug is able to cause. And it's almost as if Galadriel here, by touching his beard or his hair, is like, you know, it's going to be okay. It's kind of a like an encouraging gesture. But I didn't see mm-hmm. anything romantic in there. It's just too characters that know each other very, very well, that have the same concern about the way Middle Earth is devolving or, you know, getting turning worse, and they're trying to encourage each other. That's how I saw it. And especially if you see the scene immediately after this, and you see Gandalf in this dark, desolate place going down a ramp, and it has to use his staff to shine some light in that darkness. It's almost as if he is literally descending into the depths of the earth or into hell. And so that gesture kind of makes sense to me. It's like, you know, it's a big contrast in the trailer between the comforting light and the relative safety of Rivendell. And Rivendell is kind of that place where everything still feels okay. And you feel like you're kind of sheltered from the dread that's beyond the horizon or beyond the mountains. And it's there where it's almost like, you know, Galadriel wants to give him some of that light so he can, you know, feel a little bit of that strength when he's going down that pathway into the depths of wherever he is. I assume that the next scene is Dol Guldur as well.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So anyway, I wasn't upset about it. Quite on the contrary. Let's see what else happens to Gandalf when he goes down that ramp.
There's like torches blazed with light.
So the next scene, we see Gandalf alone, and then the next scene, we see Bilbo and the dwarves, and they're camping out in the open. The dwarves have made a fire underneath an overhanging piece of rock. And Bilbo is walking away from them, looking at the moon or at the landscape below. This, to me, immediately evoked the scene where Frodo's friends are trying to make a fire to, you know, make some food and get warm, and then of course that will attract the ring wraths and everything, and so it's the beginning of this big fight where actually. Aragorn saves them. It had the same feel. So I was like, the moment I saw that fire, I was like, is that a good idea to actually just start cooking out in the open there? I don't know exactly where this is. There are trees in the foreground. At least there's one big tree in the foreground and someone leaning against a tree. And I think in the next scene, we see it's Gandalf who is smoking his pipe. So perhaps, you know, the presence of Gandalf is reason enough for them to feel safe enough to prepare some food.
Yeah, is that Gandalf? I'm looking at it a little more closely. That might be one of the dwarves, actually.
Well, that's what I thought first. But then,
yeah,
since the
robes, he definitely got the robes going on.
Well, and the next scene shows Gandalf leaning or sitting against a tree, and it seems to be in the same environment, same lighting, smoking his pipe. Yeah, it could have been one of the dwarves, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, I think the sequence here is, although, you know, the camera is on the other side, so you just kind of flip perspective there. But I think it's just him, and this must be at the beginning of their journey when he's still with them. I wonder what Bilbo is going to do, because this is just one of those scenes where clearly, you know, Bilbo walks away from the dwarves and then has some moments to himself to ponder and be nostalgic about the Shire, probably. Let me see what the analysis on the One Ring says about this scene, because they did a terrific job kind of exploring every single possibility for all these shots. They say, let's see, there is a crack in the wall. Is that so? Oh, interesting. Let's see. I can't tell, says one of the commenters, if the watchman sitting with his back to the tree is Gandalf or Balin. They both have white hair, but Gandalf's is wispier. It's more likely to be under the eaves of Mirkwood if it's Balin. The spiky trees do match those of Dol Guldur, but wouldn't Gandalf already be on his way south? And then someone else says, I see an entrance to what turns out to be the Goblin Cave. Rather than sleeping and dreaming, perhaps Bilbo stays awake while the others rest. Enough of a storm to chase them to shelter. Others say Mirkwood. It's inconclusive. Yeah, there doesn't... I mean, I see clouds in the kind of the open spot where Bilbo is walking towards, but it doesn't look like a storm to me.
I sort of wondered if this might be the cave that they take shelter in, and then the crack opens to Goblin Town. But I don't think so. That was a cave, and this doesn't look like mountains. This looks more like I suspect this is after they've escaped Goblin Town.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't look anything like the storm that's described either.
No. And if that's really Gandalf, then it kind of makes sense that this is after he saves them. I'm confused. I should reread the book to get some hints. But that's one of the curious moments, of course, in the story, where the cave where they think they are safe actually opens up, and it's the entrance to this big, you know, goblin infested goblin town. But we'll see. I'm just comforted by the fact that even the experts don't really know conclusively what this could be. Bilbo looks out over Mirkwood while the dwarves sleep. And then, you know, it must be Gandalf sitting against a tree. Then the whole scene changes to daylight, and we see Bilbo with a sword in his hand, or a dagger. And this must be Sting, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
And it's not called Sting yet. By the way, I think that comes later. No, doesn't he name the sword when he fights the spider?
That is correct. He gives it a name befitting the deeds that he has done with it.
Right, just stinging. And so,
yeah, this is probably the troll Shaw's here. After he gets it from the troll horde.
I think so too. And he's looking at the blade. Again, reminiscent of some of the scenes where, you know, Frodo and the other hobbits get their daggers and they're entranced by it, because this is not the usual hobbit gear. So I kind of like that they included that. It's Bilbo's first realization, probably, that this adventure might be more dangerous than he suspected it to be, because after all, he's hired to be a burglar, and burglars don't really need swords.
With
I cannot guarantee his safety.
Understood.
Nor will I be responsible for his fate.
And of course, the danger that the blade evokes, and the almost premonition of the potential fights that this blade is going to be used in, ties into this scene, which is from the beginning of the story, the conversation between Gandalf and who's the other dwarf? The one with the black hair. Is that
Thorin? You're talking about Thorin here?
I think
in
it's
the
Thorin.
Scene?
Yeah, I think it is. And Thorin is like, they're still negotiating, I think, about the contract, about the deal with Bilbo, and he's like, you know, I can't guarantee that I bring him back. And again, I like this scene because it's almost a premonition of the things to come. This is going to be a dangerous journey. And no one is certain that they will return. And if they are returned, they're not certain if they're still going to be the same. And this conversation does a good job telling us that. And then we get our first real view of beautiful New Zealand. It's just one of those famous helicopter shots that we've seen so often in The Lord of the Rings. Most of the trailer consists of special effect shots where the background is done in CG or with paintings, or, you know, it's green screen. But you can immediately tell when it's real. And there's this very brief moment where the helicopter just flies over a very familiar looking landscape, mountains in the distance, kind of a... It's hard to describe. There's a forest on the right side, and then there's an open valley on the left side. And I think those are all dwarves walking through the landscape.
Yep, it's the party.
Not sure where this is exactly, but it's just generic, you know, beautiful New Zealand / Middle Earth.
And there's probably one hobbit in there. I don't see Gandalf, though.
Me neither. Me neither. And I'm trying to count the number of dwarves here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Oh, you're counting as well.
Yeah.
They're about between 12 and 13.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really make out all of them.
I do have the impression that the skies with the clouds are comped in. Or at least, you know, kind of enhanced.
Yes.
I do see shadows. So this is probably a combination of a live-action shot where there was a lot of sunlight. And then probably just to make it more interesting, they comped in the clouds. Because to me, it kind of feels a little bit awkward. The sky seems to be too cloudy for the shadows cast on the foreground. So it's probably a combination of, you know, real footage and then some CGI enhancements.
Yep.
Just my two cents. And then we get some very quick alternating shots of, again, what looks like Rivendell with people riding around on horses. I'm trying to figure out. I think those are elves, actually, on the horses.
Yep.
And those.
This is, I think, when they
like
first
ponies.
Enter Rivendell.
Yeah. The elves are carrying banners. There's one, at least two, on a white horse and one on a black horse. Just looks gorgeous. And this is part of Rivendell that we haven't seen yet. It's looks like a courtyard or something. There's a one of those very elegant bridges in the background. It looks beautiful. If only Lord of the Rings Online would look like this. I'm still, you know, looking at this. I'm like, yeah, the next generation of games is going to look like this. And we're going to look back at Lord of the Rings Online, which I dearly love and I play it all the time. And we're going to like, my goodness, don't those graphics look primitive? Then we see Gandalf out in the open. Again, this is a very barren landscape. It's gray, lots of rain clouds in the sky. What looks like some runes in the distance and then lots of barren trees. This, too, could be Dol Guldur. It's interesting to see that Gandalf has his staff in his left hand and then a sword in his right hand. So he's in a dangerous spot. There's definitely something going on there. So let me see what the frame by frame analysis says about this scene. One additional comment on the scenes of Rivendell. There's no tra-la-la-li in the valley.
So yes, I'm very disappointed. I think this is how they're going to depict the dwarves' entrance and the elves taunting them. They won't be hanging out of trees singing at them.
But you never know. I mean, this is just 2 seconds. We've just heard the dwarven song, so you don't want to change the mood of the trailer too much by adding a silly, you know, ironic song right
good
after
point.
That. So,
good point.
I don't know. I'm keeping my hopes up. these unnamed elves are, in fact, or this is speculation, but could be the sons of Elrond, having a bit of a sport with the dwarves. Yeah, could be. It's definitely Dol Guldur stuff. Looks extremely deserted, ruined, barren, just a desolate place to be. Gandalf looks to be in a hurry. Speculation here says that perhaps it's the runes of Dale and he's hustling to find the Bard. Could be a flashback. Because, of course, we don't see any goblins. We don't see any other evil creatures. Every time we see Gandalf in this background, he seems to be alone. Although, you know, his sword might indicate that there is danger, but we just don't get to see it because the CGI isn't finished.
That's true. You know, I'm wondering about this. I have two thoughts. Thought one is this could be him. One thing we haven't really seen a lot of, and I don't I don't know that we are seeing it now, because it's going to be more in the second movie, but we haven't seen much of Lake Town, of Dale, of the Lonely Mountain, or the Desolation of Smaug. We haven't seen much at all of what that's going to look like, and what, you know, in particular the Desolation of Smaug. And I bring that up here because this is, you know, all those scenes that we've seen of Gandalf on his own, or him wandering through sort of, you know, what appears to be kind of abandoned ruins type areas. And in this scene in particular, he's walking through this outdoor area that really, it looks like ruins. It looks like it's just been really destroyed. This is a long shot, but maybe this is where he's catching up to the rest of the party before the war between the elves and the dwarves gets started. And he's walking through the Desolation of Smaug. That said, I think it's more likely that this is Dol Guldur, and this is just how they're going to choose to depict Dol Guldur. And I think that's an interesting choice. Maybe what they're going to go with is maybe the Dol Guldur in the film isn't going to look anything like Barad-dûr, you know, the Dark Tower in The Lord of the Rings, which is, as you pointed out, there's orcs everywhere. It's surrounded by armies. It's a giant fortress. Maybe Dol Guldur is going to be sort of more like for lack of a better term, a haunted house type aesthetic.
That's what it looks like.
And that wouldn't surprise me. You know, having Dol Guldur surrounded by orc armies would be kind of a giveaway for Sauron to be like, you know, I wonder who this could be. There's orc armies surrounding here, trolls, everything. So I think it's going to be more sort of, I think they're going to depict it more like a haunted house, kind of a, you know, that there's not going to be defenses that Gandalf has to fight his way through to get in, but it's going to be more sort of ominous, sort of mysterious, what's really going on here, who's really in here type thing.
I would totally love that.
And that the necromancer's been counting more on reputation and people's fear of him to keep them away.
You know, the reason that I think that this is Dol Guldur and not the Desolation of Smaug is if you look at the building on the right side in the frame, in the background, if you look at the 1080i version, so the high resolution version of the trailer, you can see that part of the ruin is overgrown with vines and all sorts of plants. And so, you know, if this was just a result of Smaug, you know, coughing, then the ruins wouldn't be overgrown like that.
That's true. Everything would be burned up.
It would be just burned and still probably with columns of smoke everywhere. This looks like a place that has been abandoned for centuries and is just totally overgrown and empty and desolate. This is really how I always imagined Dol Guldur to look. Mm-hmm. I just love the interpretation here. The contrast
with the
other, the visuals are fantastic. Let's see the next scene. Where does this go? Oh, we see again Galadriel with her kind of Mona Lisa-like smile. She has this very enigmatic type of way of smiling or looking. It's like, is she really smiling or is it? I don't know. Cate Blanchett does a great job of adding mystery to her character, and again, it's the same contrast or the same play, I think, or dynamic between Gandalf being all alone and in danger with his sword, and then Cate Blanchett, Galadriel, who is still there in the background, who's still, I don't know, thinking of Gandalf or supporting him in some way, at least morally. And so I kind of like that. And the two of them are kind of a pair anyway. Not a romantic pair, but it makes sense in the story. The next shot is another one of those gorgeous New Zealand helicopter shots. This is really what New Zealand looks like. The light, and it's fantastic. This time, I assume that these two are the dwarves. They're not walking like in the other helicopter shot, but they're all on horses or on ponies. And let me count: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There you go. So this is the company. I don't know, again, if when this takes place. Or it's just one of those beauty shots. And you could never generate something like this with a computer. At least not now. It would look much more artificial than this. Let's see if the OneRing.net has any thoughts about this. Could be the Weather Hills. Foothills of the Misty Mountains. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine that this takes place before Goblin Town.
Yeah.
I think the pony, I think they lose their ponies after that.
That's true, yes. Yeah, you're right. And it makes sense to have this more in the beginning of the journey because it's all beautiful and there's still blue skies. And then if they follow the same kind of buildup as the Lord of the Rings, it gets more and more darker and grim over time. But this mm-hmm. is definitely still the, oh, we're going on this beautiful journey and it's awesome. And, you know, you don't miss the Shire when you're traveling through a landscape like this. Fantastic. It makes me long to go back to New Zealand when I see this. And then preferably having a helicopter at my disposal. Okay, what's next? We see a shot of Bilbo, and we haven't seen him for a while in this trailer. And when I say for a while, I mean like the last 10 seconds. That's what you get when you do this frame by frame. And this is Bilbo looking very happy, content. He's in the kitchen, I think, and there are two dwarves next to him, and there is a huge pile of plates and cups and everything. So I assume that this is right after they finish doing the dishes. Mm-hmm. And Bilbo seems to be happy. It seems to be relaxed and everything. I don't know why they insert this shot. Probably just to remind us that Bilbo is kind of the main character. That this is all about Bilbo and the dwarves, and not just about Gandalf and Galadriel.
Right. But this is kind of a fun, this is an interesting scene because I think this is where he, you know, he goes through this internal struggle throughout the early part of the novel, through a lot of the novel, but especially that first night, he really goes back and forth. Initially, he's annoyed that all these dwarves have showed up. He's shocked that they would invite him on this thing, and then he gets disgruntled that they think that he can't hack it, and then he gets excited after he hears their song, and so this is sort of an interesting scene because they've cleaned up the dishes. He's happy, I guess, they didn't destroy his dishes, and he's feeling excited, and he's been taken in by the power of their song and the excitement about the journey. So this is before he starts, before the next morning where he wakes up and hopes that it was all just a dream.
Yeah. Let's see what is after, what comes next. A big fight between, I forgot about this one, seems to be in the same area where Gandalf was walking around with his sword. So I assume that this is taking place just a bit later. Again, overgrown runes in the background, and there's this big fight between, well, clearly Gandalf, but we can't really tell who the other guy is. There is a glimpse, just a glimpse of what, it's a fraction of a second where we see part of the face. It looks like someone with a big beard. And there you go. I'm trying to stop the video exactly at the moment. Looks like a pretty old guy with a dark gray beard and a bald head and very dark eyes as well. There is also something that looks like a cage in the background. And it I don't know if this is a pillar or something like that. It's kind of weird. And almost as if there is a problem with the CGI. So I freeze framed and it's almost as if there is kind of a construction in the background, but it just fades away all of a sudden. It's as if there is a problem with the green screen and it looks kind of weird.
It's really hard to make anything of this scene. Yeah, you're right. It only looks good when it's moving. When you freeze it, it's a blur.
Yeah. But there's something strange going on in the background, as if there is a problem with, the composition of this.
I see what you're saying.
See that?
The bottom half of that thing is missing.
Yeah, it's gone. It's missing. It's as if someone used like the eraser tool in Photoshop and forgot to correct it. Don't you think? Yeah. I think that that's a problem.
I think that's a mistake.
I think so too. But who is he fighting? Is this
man? I don't know.
Bard, or it's not a goblin. Guess. It's certainly not a goblin.
It's not a goblin. I think we can safely say it's not the necromancer.
No, if the necromancer looks like this, I'm out. I'm gone.
Yeah, I'm done. There's no chance for this film. I don't know. I'm really curious about this guy now. I can't even begin to guess. You're right. This looks very much like this looks very much like the scene before that we said was Dol Guldur. So I sort of have to imagine he's there, and maybe it could be back at the Carrick. So it could be Bjorn. But no, he doesn't. No. This guy doesn't look anything like what Bjorn should look like, and doesn't look anything like the Bjorn we've seen in some of the past production videos. So
it's not Radagast either, I think.
Nope. I don't think we know who it is yet. We may not have enough information.
The guys over at theonering.net speculate that this is Thrain, actually. Gandalf discovers Thrain in Dol Guldur's prisons, which the construction there in the background that seems to kind of be half finished looks like something that belongs in a prison. It's definitely some kind of a, I don't know what it is, but it looks like a cage of some sort. Let me just read what's here on the website. Gandalf discovers Thrain in Dol Guldur's prisons, crazed and in possession of the map and key destined for Thorin. We do not believe that this is Radagast the Brown. Look at the dwarvish pattern in Thrain's clothing. Additionally, there's little resemblance to the actor Sylvester McCoy, the Scottish actor that plays Radagast.
Also, there's absolutely no reason why they would be fighting.
Yeah. Well, if the guy is crazy, I think, then it makes sense. If Thrain is he's been in solitary confinement in this desolate place for I don't know how much time, it makes sense that he sees Gandalf as an enemy and a threat, and they fight.
I think Thrain is that's the best guess that I've heard.
Yeah, me too. Hanging cages. Oh, wait a minute. According to this analysis, we've seen hanging cages like this in one of the early production videos.
Oh,
so it could. Yeah. It's possible that this is just something hanging from the ceiling. We don't see the ceiling, and that's why it looks as if the thing is kind of half, you know, wiped out.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if this is an error in the composition of the scene, then if we see it, then you'd assume that that Weta Workshops would have seen it. They would probably not put unfinished CGI in the trailer.
Yeah, what were we thinking?
I don't know. But yeah, if it's hanging, it makes sense that there's no bottom. But I still don't see what the cage is for, because it seems to me that there are actually branches inside the cage. So there's nothing really, or it could be an old cage, and the bottom has fallen out of it, and just like most of the ruins, it's just, you know, overgrown with branches.
Right.
All right. Let's see, and then we get to a fantastic part of the trailer. We get our first glimpse of the trolls. And I had to watch this several times to actually notice the trolls, because they're pretty much kind of blending in the background, but we see the three trolls, and then there is a fight going on. The dwarves are attacking the trolls. There's a big pot in the middle of the fire with something boiling in there, and soon, of course, what might be boiling in there is either dwarves or a hobbit.
Yeah, and it appears that they're going to make this one this scene significantly more action-packed than it is in the book.
Yes, because in the book, isn't it just one by one that the dwarves are captured?
Yeah, they just, one by one, they wander up and get grabbed.
They walk up and then, oops.
That'll make a long, slow, boring scene in a film.
Yeah. But this kind of makes sense that they, perhaps a few of them have been captured and then the others decide to do a full-fledged attack. And you see that the trolls are kind of startled, and they stand up And we don't see their faces, I think, in this small segment. We do see the rest of them. Do they look anything like the trolls that we've seen before? I think so.
Yeah, their texture and their size and the kinds of garments they're wearing, they look very much like the trolls from before. I mean, obviously the interesting thing here, and this is a good question, is how are they going to be depicted in terms of their behavior and their speech? We've never seen trolls speak. As far as, you know, they've been used in the Lord of the Rings films, they're always these sort of the big dumb guys with giant weapons who kind of just lumber around and try to smash things. And the trolls in the Hobbit book they have human names, and they sit and have a whole conversation about how to cook the dwarves. So,
and they talk in a kind of a Cockney accent. And and of course, there's been a lot of debate among the fans to try to guess whether or not we will have talking animals and talking trolls and everything. I wouldn't mind if these trolls could talk, even if it was just a little bit of a low voice or something, you know, pretty primitive. But why not? I mean, trolls have to communicate, and they, you know, if they can cook, then why couldn't they talk? And they have to exchange recipes. So I don't mind. And plus, they're kind of humanoid anyway in their shape, so they've got a mouth. So why couldn't they talk? I would have more trouble with, you know, like birds talking. Unless they look like parrots, but
well, just wait.
Yeah,
there's gonna be talking birds.
So I hope actually that we will get talking trolls, but from this scene we can't really tell. But I agree, it's gonna be more action packed, fortunately, than what we see in the book. Next scene, Bilbo is taken prisoner. We don't exactly see who is holding him, but they look like at least full sized people in black, like black robes or black clothes. Could these be elves, or what could this be? This scene. Bilbo, let me see. Let me consult
that
the oracle
like,
again.
Gosh, I don't know. I wonder if this is Lake Town. It could only be one of two people, I think, groups of people. It has to either be the elves of Rivendell, or it has to be the men of Lake Town. But this doesn't look anything like the scenery that we've seen around Rivendell, does it?
No. This is way more like in the beginning of the story. It looks more like the Shire. Actually, even the overcast lighting reminds me of some of the stuff that we've seen on the set in Matamata. According to the analysis on the OneRing.net, the description here says Bilbo finally catches up with the company somewhere on the road in the Shire. Kind of matches what I.
Oh, those are dwarves riding.
And
Fili
and Keeley deposit him onto his pony, so they're actually sitting on their ponies. That's why they look so tall.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Actually, yeah, you can see part of the pony on the right side. We now know this because it correlates with the scene described by Quint on Ain't It Cool News in his number 6 set report. This is different from the book where they meet at the Green Dragon Inn. Interesting. So yes, the dwarves are already sitting on their horses. Makes sense. And then the next scene, Gandalf raised hands, his staff in his hands, lit from the background by a setting sun and beautiful, spectacular clouds. And this is exactly the same pose as the scene on the bridge in Moria, where he says, you know, "You shall not pass." But this is probably, and this is a very good analysis here on the OneRing.net. This must be the shot, the moment, where Gandalf says, "Dawn take you all and be stone to you," as light comes over the hill and turns the trolls to stone. That totally makes sense. So you see part of the... So this is not a sunset, but it's a sun rising. And it looks fantastic. And I love that heroic pose of Gandalf. And deliberately reminiscent of what we've seen in Lord of the Rings. Again, doing exactly what this trailer should do, and that is to remind people that this is, you know, from the same author as the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Then we see lots of small scenes, the dwarves stumbling into Bilbo's home.
You'll have a tale or two to tell when you come back.
We see.
You promise that I will come back.
Bilbo running with his contract.
And if you do,
hopping a fence.
And then we see him inside a cave covered in cobwebs, and there's the ring in the foreground. And the ring is actually the only thing that has any color, and the rest is just blue, gray. See some nasty mushrooms on the left.
My name is Bilbo Bagginses.
Bagginses. What is Bagginses?
And with the music of our end tune already in the background, this was not the music from the trailer, of course, as you understand. We see the final scene, and that was, of course, I imagine people in the theater cheering when this was shown, because we see Gollum. And again, he's kind of hidden. You don't really see his face yet, but he definitely has the same movements that we're used to. Andy Serkis has been talking a little bit about his performance, and now that they have also facial recognition or capturing actually the movements of his mouth and face, and that is translated directly to the digital rendition. So it's going to be even more lifelike, I think, than what we've seen in Lord of the Rings. So again, yes, the end music is playing, so it means that we're almost out of time. We hope you enjoyed this very detailed analysis of the trailer. And, well, we'll do this again when new trailers will hit the net. We don't know when that's going to be. But, of course, we get the occasional production video as well. And there is actually a production video that we haven't discussed yet, mostly with stuff from the Shire, from the set in Matamata. So we'll talk about that next time. We'll also return to our coverage of the weekly news from New Zealand, and there is a lot of news, lots of things that leaked out in interviews with Cumberbatch and other actors. So in order to get totally up to date, you'll have to wait for another episode. Next time we'll do the rounds and make the rounds and try to catch up with all the cool news. In the meantime, you can follow us on our website, which is thehobbit.sqpn.com. We're also on Twitter. Follow the Hobbit Hobbit Podcast, I should say, not with the. So Hobbit Podcast on Twitter. And then, of course, Dave, you're also involved in the Middle Earth Network. Where can people find that? What's the entry URL for all that good stuff there?
MyMiddle-Earth.net.
MyMiddle-Earth.net. And lots of cool stuff happening on the fan side of the equation. We're covering most of the production stuff, but if you want to keep up and see what's going on among the fans of this movie, make sure that you visit that website as well. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks, Dave, for joining me today. And to our listeners, thanks for listening. If you want to support SQPN and our efforts to bring you great content every week, consider becoming a friend of SQPN, and you can do that by signing up for a monthly donation. It can be a small donation or a big one if you're a rich millionaire. More information can be found on all our websites. And for this show, that would be thehobbit.sqpn.com. We thank you for your support, and we'll see you next time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.